Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program very much. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Monday, November 1st, 2021. President Kiir has sent a delegation to mediate in the Sudanese crisis.
The all parties are really very positive about dialogue. They accept to work together coming days.
And a South Sudanese minister is accused of allegedly directing the arrest of young men from Warap State.
He refused the student of Romi because they sat for 1 hour in the morning and then he cancelled the exam.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Sudan Liberation Movement, North faction, under Malik Agar, which is part of Sudan Revolutionary Front, says the whereabouts of a political advisor of the deposed Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok are still unknown. One SPLM North official says his party and Yasir Arman's family want military leader General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan to release Arman and other political prisoners immediately. From Juba, Manyang David Mayar has more for VOA.
SPLM North member Mohamed Saleh said security forces arrested Yasir Arman from his house in Khartoum and took him to an unknown location on October 25th, the day General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan and other military officials seized power. Saleh, reached by phone from an undisclosed location in Sudan, says his party is deeply concerned about detention of Arman, who served as a political advisor to the ousted Sudanese Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok.
The way he was arrested and the destruction we saw at his residence, that is an indicator of violence acts. Add to that, we cannot trust the military because of their denial of access to him or provision of any information regarding him. And also there's a denial of a visit by his immediate family. His brother went to see him and ask information about him. He was denied access and denied to have any information to him. And that is why we are deeply concerned and worried about that.
General Burhan said he had suspended the constitutional declaration signed in 2019 by the Transitional Military Council and Forces for Freedom and Change Coalition. But Burhan has said the Juba peace agreement would not be affected by the military takeover. He has said the military acted to keep the country from entering a path towards civil war. Saleh says there is no way the Juba peace agreement will hold when key political leaders such as Yasir Arman are kept in secret detention facilities.
The arrest of Yasir is a betrayal to the trust which we trusted the government, and that's why we came to Sudan, and we came under the guarantee of the mediator, which is the government of South Sudan and the international community. Therefore, it should be respected, and the release of Mr. Yasir Arman is an essential. We cannot betray him. We will not leave him.
Pro-democracy protests have taken place nearly every day since the military takeover. Over the weekend, the South Sudan government dispatched a delegation to the Sudanese capital, Khartoum, to help convince the military and civilian leaders to resolve their differences amicably. Saleh says the military leader must abide by the agreements reached prior to the establishment of the transitional government.
We agree that we should have a civilian-led agreement and the military should honor their commitment, because they have been left to rule and lead for the first stage of the transitional period. And now it is high time they should restore and give the power to the civilian-led component, and they will play their due role in the which is clearly stated in the Juba Peace Agreement and in the constitutional chart.
In 2019, after the ouster of Sudan's President Omar al-Bashir, the Transitional Military Council and Forces for Freedom and Change signed a political agreement and constitutional declaration. They formed a joint civilian military sovereign council to lead Sudan during a 3-year transitional period until elections that would see a full return to civilian leadership. For VOA News, Amanyang David Mayar in Juba.
A delegation of South Sudanese leaders is in Khartoum to meet with Sudanese leaders. They hope to help iron out differences among different parties in the country. A member of the delegation said they were sent by President Salva Kiir to meet with military and civilian political leaders to find a way to bring them to the negotiating table and resolve the current political dispute. Michael Atit prepared this report, and Nabil Biagio has more from Washington.
The delegation, led by the presidential security advisor Tut Galwag, arrived in Khartoum Sunday to meet with Sudanese leaders and to see how they can be helped in resolving the political crisis. Speaking exclusively to South Sudan in Focus this past hour in Khartoum, delegation member Dio Matok says the delegates believe it is important for all Sudanese political components to engage in a dialogue and resolve their differences. Matok says the delegation met with the head of Sudan's military, Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, the paramilitary leader, Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, and ousted Prime Minister, Abdullah Hamdok. He says all sides have raised concerns that need to be put on the table for negotiation.
The all parties are really very positive about dialogue. They accept to work together coming days, but they believe that there are issues that need to be clarified before they come together and resume the function of the transition. We are going to continue with this exercise. We want to bring them together on table and try also to make some confidence-building measures.
A week ago, General Burhan dissolved the cabinet and suspended some articles of the constitutional document. He accused few political parties of excluding the military in taking part in the transitional government. He detained Hamdok and many other civilian members of the government. Hamdok has been allowed to return home, but other civilian political leaders and activists remain in detention. Matok says during their meeting with Prime Minister Hamdok, he expressed concern about the continued detention of former ministers and party officials, who he says should be released before any dialogue. Matok says Hamdok has expressed readiness to be reinstated as Prime Minister, but not before these conditions are fulfilled.
It's very positive to work with Burhan in the coming government. But also it has some of concerns that need to be discussed. That is why we want to organize a joint meeting that can bring both of them. General Burhan has concerns, and Dr. Abdullah Hamdok has concerns also. So the way how we should address those concerns, we must have to bring them together.
The delegation is expected to meet this evening with Sudanese leaders to try to close the gap between them. He says Sudanese leaders should not fail their people after a long struggle toward democratic rule and after so many achievements within the past few years.
The gains that were actually obtained by the transition in Sudan in very short period, they have to be maintained, including resumption as a member of the international community. This is really very important. We have seen how the economy has improved, and there were a lot of progress, a lot of success. And people have to come together and then work again.
Matok says the delegates are happy with the way the international community, especially Troika, European Union, and African ambassadors, have shown concern about the situation in Sudan. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio, bringing you this report from Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Still on Sudan, the United Nations has condemned the killing of protesters by the Sudanese military and warned them to heed the voices of the people. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres called for negotiations to return the country to a civilian-led government. For an update on the situation, My colleague Chinidu Ofo spoke with VOA UN correspondent Margaret Bashar.
Well, the UN is very concerned from every direction. On Thursday, we saw finally that the UN Security Council's 15 members aligned themselves behind the African Union, who suspended Sudan last week, and they aligned themselves with the Arab League, the Organization of the Islamic Conference, and other organizations, and they expressed their serious concern. They did not outright condemn, but they expressed their serious concern of the, quote, military takeover. They didn't use the word coup, but neither did the African Union. So I think their language was mirroring that of the African Union. They condemned the military takeover, the state of emergency, the arrest of Prime Minister Hamdok. They called for his release, the use of restraint, the restoration of the civilian transition government. And they said they were with the people. So that was actually quite a strong statement from the Security Council. On Friday, Volker Perthes, who's the UN representative in Sudan, said that he was coordinating the mediation efforts. He's trying to push the parties towards inclusive talks. He spoke last week with Prime Minister Hamdok and also separately with General Burhan. So there's active mediation on the ground in Sudan. And on Saturday, in the midst of all the chaotic protests, we heard from the Secretary General, who's traveling this week. He was at the G20, and now he's at the climate conference in Scotland. And he called the Sudanese people courageous. He supported peaceful protests, that the military must allow the people to peacefully protest. And he said the military should take heed of what the people are saying.
Protests are rocking Sudan, and more deaths are expected, aside from talks and international pressure coming on. Any indications at all that the Sudanese military leadership will budge or give in to any of these demands?
We have to wait and see what happens. Militaries are difficult. We've seen that over the past year in Myanmar. The military leadership there hasn't listened to the international community. They've kind of laughed off sanctions, and they've just continued to isolate their country further internationally. I think the Sudanese military might be more intelligent because they've just gotten off the U.S. list of states of foreign terrorist sponsors, which is very important for them in order to have investment in the country. And Sudan's in a very dire economic situation. So there's different leverage in the case of Sudan's military coup, I think, perhaps, than in the case of Myanmar's. So we're just going to have to watch and see what happens, see what tools the international community has in its toolbox to try and, if not reverse the situation, at least bring it slowly back to some sort of civilian led situation.
Now that Prime Minister Hamdok is out of military detention and he's in his own home, do you know whether internally there's any discussions or talks with him from either the United Nations or any of the international organizations or pressure groups who are involved in this?
All I can tell you is that there have been repeated calls from the highest levels at the United Nations for his complete release. And last week, Mr. Perthes, the special representative for the UN to Sudan, spoke with him. But more than that, and he found him in good health. I think he met with him. And more than that, I'm not privy to.
Does the United Nations have an end game? Where do we go from here? And what are other steps or other plans the United Nations can take to bring the military into compliance?
Well, I don't think it's the United Nations' job to do that. It's the international community's. And we're going to see it from capital more than from New York. And the UN Security Council, as long as they keep giving their support to the African Union, this can be a regionally led effort to try and reverse the situation. The Security Council often says that the African countries should find solutions to African problems. They always say they support that because that's something the African Union talks about. So we'll have to see. There's mediation in the region, and we'll just have to see what happens.
That was VOA correspondent Margaret Bashar speaking with my colleague Chinidu Ofo from New York on Sunday. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, a South Sudanese minister is accused of ordering the arrest of some young men in South Sudan. Find out why after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what improvements have you seen in your community over the past year?
I'm seeing infrastructures and services like water, electricity, at least now, alhamdulillah. Because like in 2 years back, we are getting water from the well. And now we have tap water.
Not so much in my community where I come from, not so much, but I only see people are venturing into business. People are learning business skills every time.
People those days didn't take their children to school. But nowadays, you can see that all people are willing to take their children to school. And also, there's some development of the road constructions. There are also buildings around our places.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Some young men from Lual Jang community in South Sudan's Warrap state are accusing the country's Minister for General Education of using her powers to illegally order the arrest of youth who wrote a petition to President Salva Kiir when the minister denied some primary aid pupils an opportunity to write the 2020 primary living examination because they were in SPLM-IO control areas. Winnie Chirino reports for VOA from Juba.
Francis Agwek Madut from Lual Jang community of Tonj East County of Warrap State says the saga started on February 4th when Education Minister Awud Deng Achwil said pupils in SPLMIO controlled areas could not take their primary living examinations due to insecurity. Tonj East was included in that order. But he says 4 days later, the minister sent examinations to Tonj East County, but to only Nyargok and Palal Payams, leaving out Romich Payam.
He refused the student of Romich because they sat for 1 hour in the morning and then he cancelled the exam. This prompted the youth of Lual Jang community to write a position paper to the president of the Republic of South Sudan, urging the president to look into this case, why the minister refused one community, the students of one community, not to sit for exam. And this has led to the arrest of the students of the youth who wrote the position paper to the office of the president.
Madut says the minister has ordered the arrest of the youth who wrote the petition to the president. He says that is unfair because they were raising genuine concerns affecting their community. He says early last month, two security officers who were among the team of young adults who wrote the petition were arrested and released without charges. On October 11th, another youth was arrested under the orders of Minister Chwil, but was later bailed out by his colleagues, something that he says must have angered the minister.
On day 12, the minister came back and threatened the authority in the police station that these two gentlemen should be arrested. So they were arrested on day 12. Until on day 13, when we came for them, we bailed them out. Now they are in Juba, in their houses, waiting for the case from the minister. And then on day 26th of this month, King Jok Dan, the student of School of Medicine in Barrick Zell University, was again arrested by the minister, and he slept there in the custody in Wau. And that day he's brought, he's now in Melekeer, in the police station. So he's the one now who is still under the custody.
South Sudan in Focus contacted Minister Chwil for a comment. The minister said she was feeling unwell and would comment on the story later. Madut says they have tried to reach the concerned authorities, including the speaker in the National Assembly and the office of the president, but they have often been sent back by the security. Madut says Minister Chwil has been taking advantage of her position to intimidate people. He says she should go to the courts as a private person if she has a case with anyone instead of using her position. He calls on President Kiir to form a committee to investigate the issue.
And also should consider us as the youth of Lual Jang, which is the arrest of the minister, would that there is nobody above the law. And if there is no anybody above the law, the minister should be called and warned why he is carrying out these things without the knowledge of the people who are in a higher authority, like now arresting anybody in the house, interfering of anybody in the house, and later on he wanted to detain people just by force. And so the government of South Sudan should immune or relieve Minister Wood from being general minister of general education and allow her to come and pursue the case with the youth of Lual Jang, whereby there will be no any problem, nobody will fear her.
Madut says due to unfair treatment to the people of Romich, he also calls upon President Kiir to make the area as an administrative area so that the people can get resources or benefits from the president's office directly. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
Police say they are searching for suspects who attacked a cattle market in Bor County of South Sudan's Jonglei State. Authorities report the assault killed two people and injured another. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Mading Alier, the leader of cattle traders in Bor, says the attackers looted cash estimated to be in millions of South Sudanese pounds in the raid on the market Saturday.
They have killed two people and injured one person. They have also looted the money, but I cannot tell you the figure now. They shot at the traders randomly, and nobody knows who they were.
40-year-old Malwang Arongkon, who survived the attack, says he was shot in his left arm. Akon says the gunman fired indiscriminately and he couldn't identify who they were.
They start shooting at us and immediately keep shooting. They immediately killed someone who was with me and I started to run. They were hurt and missed me, but I kept running to the bush. They injured my arm. I don't know how much, but probably all the money because everything was left there when they attacked.
Alier says the Anyidi cattle auction, which attracts cattle traders from Pibor and Jonglei State, is deserted following the attack. Alier urges the police to apprehend the attackers and to provide security to protect cattle traders.
We ask the government to protect the cattle traders by deploying enough police officers in the area so that when incidents like what happened take place, they intervene immediately.
Major General Joseph Mayena Akon, the Jonglei State Police Commissioner, confirms the details of the attack. General Akon says government has dispatched security forces to the area and they have arrested one suspect.
They are making investigation and also the case is open. And even on Sunday, I heard somebody have been found where people were killed. And that guy is kept as a suspect. That guy. And I also urge our people, when such an incident takes place, I wish our people to be in the position of concord, so that the issue is understand or is understood. So let us say, wait and see.
General Akon says dozens of cattle abandoned by Murley traders from Pibor during the attack on the market have been collected and the police will hand the livestock over to the owners when they return.
They might thought that the one who killed people might be from the Murley. So immediately they were panicked and then they ran away, leaving behind them 94 cattle. And I told Deng Lukwaj that you take care of those cows. These people will come back. We will immediately come back because to come and see their properties.
General Akon urges the people in Anyidi Payam not to assume who the attackers were and try to make revenge. Instead, he said they should allow the police to investigate to find the perpetrators. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Bor.
Lawmakers from Warab and Unity States are calling on the government to disarm civilians to end deadly cattle raiding and intercommunal violence. The lawmakers made the call at a four-day dialogue in Juba recently to identify the role of local government officials, including county commissioners, administrators, and chiefs, in addressing criminal activities in the two states. For VOA News, Ding McGod reports from Juba.
Sharjek Mark Kornyang, the chairman of the Mayom County Graduate Association, says he is concerned about cattle raiding attacks and intercommunal clashes that often lead to the killing of women and children.
So many people who already lost lives. There were also people who are being displaced by the conflicts. Because those youths, they use cross border. Others, they went to Arab. And those youths from Waralkolo came to Mayom. So it is so equal for all of us. We would like them to say that the people, the victims, were the children and women, you know, these people who may not handle anything or guns.
Samuel Lubenja Thiek, a lawmaker representing Mayom County in the National Legislature, says the laws to address cattle raiding and intercommunal violence are not being implemented. He says youth do not listen to authorities.
I think laws sometimes are not effective when there are arms use men. They cannot listen to whoever tries that to apply rule of laws. These people cannot do anything. Where you find people have guns, youth have guns, anything cannot work. That is why our peoples have been experiencing a lot of killings, cattle raidings.
Bapiny Montwil, the Deputy Speaker of Council of States and one of the people who initiated the dialogue, says they will disseminate a message of peace in both communities.
When we finish here from Juba, we will go to the home. We have a joint mission from Warab, MPs of Warab and MPs of Mayom. They will go to Warab areas, the main phone, and they will come back to Mayom together and tell the citizen, you know, Indian Salama, Ma Nogbor Bitan Dinka. So we will hold the Joral conference between the two tribes in Mankin, Fi Sharwahid. They are all implementation in Nihai, Bokon Fi Mankin. The resolution without an order, the High Court will provide us with the judiciaries, all the security forces.
Major General Lul Ruai Kong, spokesperson for the South Sudan People's Defense Force, says the lawmakers' request for the army to disarm civilians from the two communities is valid.
These two communities met and made a resolution that they should be calling for disarm and exercise to be carried out in their respective counties, and then there's nothing wrong with it. Let them make their presentation to the right leadership. And once the preparations are made, of course, the concerned authorities won't mind to carry out the disarmament and ask the question.
But Kong says the army has put disarmament operations on hold because of challenges to several recent campaigns. He says at the moment, the army can only intervene to stop violence whenever two or more communities are involved in clashes.
Now, if you remember the disarmament exercise we had carried out in Retetoy, it was put on hold because there were very bloody clashes between the forces of the disarmament and the local community that was being disarmed. We had also some difficulties in Greater Lagos State. And at the time we had to put the exercise on hold, it was rainy season. And you know, during the rainy season, the area becomes inaccessible, the issue of roads.
The lawmakers also say, aside from disarming civilians, the government should enforce the rule of law so that those involved in cattle raiding and intercommunal violence are prosecuted in court. For VOA News, I am Ding Magot in Juba.
That's all we prepared for you this Monday. We now leave you with Emmanuel Kembe and the song Kifaya.
Kale pita munude ye Korudu kale pita munude ya Kalina gezi musawa Korudu kalke biru hilu Vitamin katiru fifoku Kalina gezi musawa Beadala Abiye danyar kuta junu Bishamal barakazal Ablev river beer Will be free Thanks to Igat Thanks to Machakos Thanks to Nakuru.
We've been listening to Emmanuel Kembe with the song Kifaya. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for taking your time to be with us this evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
God bless. bless our leaders. Give them more wisdom. Lead us to our destination. And bless everyone who helped put it together. To let the sun shine bright.